to Culinary Convo's Willamette Valley Spotlight, where we talk about the best in the Pacific Northwest and where we highlight the greats that make up the valleys of Oregon State. I am super excited to start this segment with the folks that did our wedding cakes. Yeah, that's right, plural, cakes, because of the pandemic, and a surprise birthday cake for my wife, and has made so many little desserts for those events, and just for our treat yourself days. They have been featured on Rustic Wedding Chic, GreenWeddingShoes.com, Portland Bride and Groom, Pacific Northwest Weddings, and Oregon Bride Magazine, and many more. More recently, they were featured in the Wilsonville Spokesman. But what about reviews, you may ask? Well, they are on Yelp, and as of this recording, they have 50 reviews with an average of 5 stars. Chanel and Brandon Walters operate the award-winning bakery Luxe Sucre since 2012 that has been the winner of Best Custom Cakes, Best New Wedding Vendor, and many other Best Of awards, including Best Desserts Portland since 2016. They are located out of Wilsonville, Oregon, and you can check out all their wonderful desserts, cakes, and other makes on LuxSucre.com. That is LuxSucre.com. I know I mentioned weddings, and so if you're also looking to do a tasting, visit their site, or if you have questions, you can always send an email to hello@luxsucre.com. To follow their seasonal flavors, new things in the patisserie case, and to check out some of their cafe menus and their newly expanded space that they opened this year in February, follow them on Facebook.com/LuxSucre Desserts and Instagram.com/LuxSucre Desserts or LuxSucre Weddings for all the highly curated and designed cakes they have made over the years. And so let's get started. Hello, everybody, and welcome again to Willamette Valley Spotlight. I am here with Brandon of Luxe Sucre. How is it going, Brandon?
It's going great. It's going great.
All right. So, first thing here, I just got to ask, with opening the new cafe and going through things, how has that been, opening a new cafe segment for your already great bakery operations?
You know, it's been quite the whirlwind. We actually weren't quite anticipating the response that we've gotten, and so it's been overwhelmingly positive, and people have been coming in, and the place is pretty much full Wednesday through Sunday as far as lunch hour goes and that sort of thing. We just didn't quite anticipate it being as busy as it is right off the get-go, so we're very excited.
Well, good. Yeah, as I say, that's like a good problem to have, right?
It is.
That's one of those, like, yeah, it's like we're happy that it is this way.
Exactly.
So, yeah. What do you recommend most to customers coming in for the cafe or bakery item wise?
You know, my new favorite. So we're pretty jazzed up about the savory end of things that we've added because it's something completely new.
Right.
As well as we have a full bread program. So we're making all of our breads in house. We're making layered dough items like croissants and items that coincide with that kind of process. And so all those things we're really excited. We've been doing the dessert thing my wife's been doing it since 2011. And I came in a few years after that. And so we're pretty used to that part. We're very proud of it, but we're really excited about the savory part. And so as far as cafe goes, my favorite thing is actually, it's called a tartine, and it's an open-faced sandwich is what it is. And we make one that has ham and brie and our Marionberry jam, and then it has a few other items that kind of just bring all the flavors together. And it just is surprising, the flavor profile that it brings. So that's what I eat almost every day.
I don't blame you. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Cause I think originally with a lot of it's like a baguette, right? With ham and brie. And then sometimes they do like balsamic, but you do it on a tartine. And like you said, I don't know why an open face sandwich, it like you try it and you're thinking like this is going to be a typical whatever, and then you just start eating it and you're like, why is this better than me trying to handle two pieces of bread?
Right?
Like I like holding this just like a tostada or whatever and just eating it like a disc. Like this is, oh man, yes. Or just fork. That's fine. Right. I'm a bigger guy. I don't want to look like I've made a mess on myself. And so it's like holding a tartine like that, way better than trying to, you know, handle the two pieces of bread all the time. Yeah. And you mentioned the bread program. Are you guys doing the typical COVID thing? Are you doing the sourdough? Are you doing all that stuff?
We are. We're all of our, we have a few sandwiches that have our in-house sourdough bread. We also make in-house focaccia bread, as well as baguettes and croissants. Are the four breads that we're using for all of our in-house sandwiches. So, yeah.
Oh, wow. And see, that's like amazing to have that kind of thing, especially for a community like Wilsonville, you know, that kind of thing. Like having a place where you can literally say, like, I'm going to go pick up this like specialty made bread. Yeah, that's
yeah,
like perfection life for me.
Anytime. About it.
Right. Like anytime you can get close to that, like Parisian or even like Italian based, like, oh yeah, I'm just going to go to my local guy and get this or that, or my local gal that has this shop that does, you know, oh man, perfect. Yeah. People of Wilsonville, flock, go there. I mean, my gosh. And then it, like I said, bakery item wise, whether it's like your desserts or even the cake, what's been the thing you're recommending most out there recently?
Obviously I've tried it all for the most part.
Yeah,
I really like tart things. So I really do like, we have a lemon a lime tart that we do that has coconut in it, and it has a whipped cream on the top, and it's super good.
Yeah, that's like a refresher.
That's probably my favorite. Yeah, it is. And it's good for this time of year.
Oh yeah.
But yeah, we do have a lot of other things that we've expanded on. We have, you know, the butter croissants, and we have actually right now it's a Marienberry almond Danish. That's super good. Those are all things that are new, but then we do expand. We expanded on our cupcake offerings and that kind of stuff. So you can't really go wrong with anything you pick out there.
No. Yeah. So pretty much whenever it hits a recommendation on it, it's pretty much like, what is a flavor you enjoy, and just pick which way you want it delivered to you.
Exactly.
It sounds like, yeah. I mean,
anything
that's,
Marienberry around here is pretty popular just based on the area that we're in. So,
oh yeah. I got to admit, first time I ever tried Marienberry, like I said, being from the Midwest, blackberry, that's like a big thing. You can get those pretty much anywhere. And then everybody's like, oh, Marienberry. And I'm like, yeah, okay. You know, like, I'll see, you know, whatever. And then you try it and yeah, you're like, okay, my life has changed. Like, this is now my new favorite berry. I can't get rid of it. I am a typical Oregonian. This is great. And it's,
Definitely.
I mean, yeah. And so, speaking of basically Marienberry's things from this valley, are there any brands or items that you use in your desserts or cafe items that are Willamette Valley based that you want to highlight and you just can't live without?
We strive to have everything as far as products that we can include into the service here be locally based. We have all of our coffee is based out of McMinnville. We work with Flag and Wire Coffee.
Oh, nice.
They've been instrumental in our growing in the coffee part of our cafe. It's a husband and wife owned company, and the husband, Nick, we met him probably about 4 years ago, maybe now, 4.5 years ago. It might be close to, I think it's about 4.5 years ago, when we were really wanting to get a better coffee than just, you know, your run-of-the-mill. And we were looking into adding a smaller run of being able to do lattes and that sort of thing.
Right.
He helped us out. He treated us like we were, you know, the most important person that day, even though I tried to explain to him how small of a customer we were going to be. but now that we've expanded into this new space, he helped us build the whole coffee barista station out You know, yeah. been instrumental in that and helped us pick out the machine and the grinders and the all the equipment and the brewer for the drip coffee. And so now we're, you know, ordering more in a week than we ever ordered over a month period before. So
totally.
It's been awesome. And then we also carry Jasmine Pearl loose leaf teas, which is out of northeast Portland. They're an awesome, awesome company. So we have 36 of their teas that you can order, all different kinds of flavors. We have the black teas, green teas, the herbal teas, and white teas and everything. So lots of flavors on that.
Don't tempt me with a good time. I tell you what, man. my wife lately, she's really been into, like, you know, ever since, you know, the whole pandemic thing, everybody's been wanting to travel. Like, that's a big thing. And so her thing lately has been, like, she's been watching, what is it, Midwife something, basically about the British midwives of, like, the early, you know, 20th century. She wants a tea time so bad. She wants afternoon tea, and she wants the little cakes and the finger sandwiches and the whole nine. And so, yeah, seeing that many teas, I mean, I can't even imagine.
It's funny you mention that. Yeah, and that's actually the reason why we built out the tea end of things is my wife was actually born in England, and her mom's whole side of the family is over there. And one of her dream services she's always wanted to have was to be able to do afternoon tea. So that is something that we're going to be introducing here shortly after Mother's Day, where you can come in and do the tiered afternoon tea service. And you'll be able to, so you'll get the finger sandwiches and you'll get the scones and you'll get the, you know, all the goodies. So that's something that we're going to be doing here soon. So
I'm telling, man, oh man, I tell you what, you're going to hit just that brilliant market of, like, people that even me, if I'm like, okay, I'm not a tea guy, I want the coffee. Well, hello. Like, look at the whole counter of coffees and everything. Like, oh my gosh. Yeah, that sounds amazing. Yeah. That sounds great. And then, like you were saying, keeping it all local as well, trying to build that out. Like, I bet you anything, the reason why he treated you like family, he knew. He's like, these people, they're going to get it. They're going to go and they're going to, you know, they're going to expand and we're going to be able to do this. And so it's like, you know, it's beneficial for everybody, right? Like, that's
it has been.
Yeah.
It's been a really great relationship.
And it could be lately and it could be of all time, what have you. I want you to really dig deep in that little emotional bank you got, Brandon. And what is your own personal favorite item? What's that thing you've gone back to over and over again that you're like, this is the memory I will cherish every time I hold this little thing? And what would that be?
You know, it's one of our mini desserts that we do. We have which we probably did some of those for your wedding.
Yeah.
We do dessert shooters. Mm-hmm. And they're little cups. They're small little petite cups, but they have layers of cake and then our scratch-made filling and then whipped cream that kind of coincide with those flavors. Yeah. It always reminds me of Chanel and I did a brunch thing at our old house with all of our friends, and she had made some of those. And it was prior to me really helping her out much. I would come to her commissary kitchen she was working out of and help her with dishes and that sort of thing. So I didn't know much more than that, but she had those for that day. And so, you know, from that day on, I remember those things being the best thing ever. That's probably, it's kind of funny cause it's one of our little desserts, but I really, really enjoy those. I would probably say those. I have a memory that kind of coincides with it. And I was just actually talking about it the other day with her. So.
See? And it's like you're saying, it brings all that back. You were doing the dishes. Yeah. It was like, it was the beginnings, right?
Yeah.
It has all that. No, you're right. As much as I loved my wedding cake, as much as I've loved, you know, the surprise cake that we did for my wife, I'm not kidding. When we were done with the wedding, we were taking, you know, the boxes of desserts because there was like a whole display table. It was gorgeous. And we're taking just the little things that are left. And the whole time, as like people are packing stuff up, all I'm thinking in my head is, where are those little apple pies? I want those little apple pies. I'm like, because I had two of them, and then you do your typical wedding stuff, right? You do your first dance, yep. You know, you walk the tables, and you're like, hey, nice to see you. Oh, it's awesome. And, like, you're going through all this stuff, and by the time I get to the end of it, and it's kind of like, hey, you had your big day. What are you going to go do now, right? Like the Super Bowl question, right? You're going to Disney World. And I'm thinking in my head, like, I'm getting, like, I hope there is at least 2 to 3 of those little apple pies because I'm just going to slam those things. Like, those things were so good. I'm trying to, what is the exact name of the, it's not a hand pie, so to speak, but it's like.
We call them dainty pies. We have dainty our in-shop pies. Size, yeah. And then we have our mini size we do for the catering menu, and actually one of the other things that I really like as well, just because my family grew up, we just got pies for birthdays, and meeting Chanel, it wasn't really, we weren't a big cake family, and now we've kind of turned everybody, but I still gravitate towards those when they're available.
And it's like I said, I will admit, my grandpa, he made, you know, apple pies with my granny all the time, and his were like, He put so much cinnamon that it was a brown filling instead of like that yellow or kind of like a greenish tinge, you know, like it was always like, and that's what I liked about yours. If I remember right, there's like a little bit of cinnamon on the outside, mm-hmm. and then there's also a little bit of cinnamon on the inside. And I just know nobody's ever going to put that much cinnamon in it. But as long as you highlight the cinnamon, that's what we need.
Yeah.
We need more highlight of the cinnamon. It's got to be there. But no, that is great. And then the next one here, you've done some fundraisers and other like community drives in the past. Not only do they want to have these drives happen, but it seems like every time you guys do a great job with those. And, you know, is there one that's coming up in the future for Lux, or are there some causes that you have an affinity for in the Valley or outside of Oregon that you really want to highlight?
Well, we just did one today, actually, for Boone's Ferry Primary Elementary.
Oh, wow.
And, what they do within the school is they advertise to all the parents to come out and support that business, and then a percentage of the sales that day go back to the school. So we did that today. That was our first time doing that. I've seen them at some of the larger outfits, but we were excited to be a part of it today. One that is on the books for sure. We work with me and Chanel are big cat people. We've had cats since, she's had cats since she was a kid. I've had cats since I was a kid, but I didn't have any outside of living at home with my parents or anything until meeting her. And so now it's, you know, it's ingrained in me as well, but we work with Meow Village out of Aurora and they're a cat fostering. They also do, they take in strays and they assign for barn cats and stuff like that. But they, if you follow them on Instagram or Facebook, you'll see how much work they do and how much they care for animals. And so they do it's called Bottle Drop Boogie, and they do it about every 3 months out front of our store here.
Yeah.
So you can bring your cans and bottles, and then they get an extra kick from from Bottle Drop itself. I think it's 20%. On top of whatever's donated. And I believe the next one is July 9th. So it's a little ways out. They just had it 2 weeks ago.
And so Meow Village, right? Yes. Like I said, everybody, get your bottles, get your cans, get them ready. Go to Lux Sucre whenever they're doing. You said July 9th, right?
July 9th is the next one.
Next one, yeah. So July 9th, just start right now. Right now, we're recording this in April. But like I said, get your cans, get your bottles ready, and then you can go to Lux. You can have some cake. You can drop your bottles off. You can do all this, and you're helping out the cats. I mean, I'm a cat person, me and my wife. We've got two cats. I've got my big Maine Coon mix. Benny, and then my all black cat. He's a medium hair, and his official name is Biscotti or Biscotto, because Biscotti is multiple. So I got clarified from my wife. She's like, biscotto. I'm like, okay, all right, fine. So it's biscotto, but we call him Biscuit. And he is, he's a wonderful little guy. Pretty vocal. We thought Benny was a vocal because we got him first, and we thought he was very vocal. But, Biscuit showed him up pretty quick. So I completely agree with you. July 9th, everybody get ready with your bottles and cans and do it for Meow Village and visit Lux Sucre. It'll be great. And is there any part of the day or process that makes you feel pure joy in the work that you do? Is it like the first look at a towering wedding cake, or when you give someone like a sentimental message for either specialty cakes or dessert items? Or is it kind of like when you turn the lights off at night, like, we did a great job, we've done it?
You know, with the new space, I would say when me and Chanel are here together and we just pop, I'm usually back in the office and she's back here more now than she used to be at the old space, because she was very much hands-on.
Yeah.
She's trying to do more on the clerical end of things now that we have a lot more of that to do here. But when we're able to pop out around the lunch hour and just see our cafe, like, just there's no seats available,
yeah,
it kind of doesn't seem real quite yet. And so that's probably the pure joy part, is like, I don't take it for granted, and we've only been doing it for 2 months, and it still just seems like it's the first day. So,
yeah,
it's pretty cool.
That's, yeah, it's like you were saying. I remember a quote, I believe, from Dave Chang of Momofuku fame. His favorite thing was, like, during a dinner service, he would sit and look out, and he's analytical, right? Like, super analytical guy. And so he looks out over and he's trying to see people's faces, like, if they're enjoying it or if any. And I always thought, kind of like what you said, like, you look out across, you know, a whole dining area or your cafe, if the seats are filled, man, and it just keeps going, like you were saying, 2 months now. Oh, yeah. That's got to be just gorgeous every day.
Yes.
You know? Yeah. It's, yeah.
We're getting very excited for the weather to start getting nice. Our patio is about going to have,
yeah,
it'll double our seating or a little bit more than that. So
we're excited
to be able to have more capacity. And it's super pretty out here in Charbonneau. It's, if you haven't been, you have to check it out. It's kind of surreal. It's right off I-5. Super easy to get to, easy parking, all those things. So.
Yes. And that was the thing that my wife, she really was like, pushing on whenever we first were hearing about you guys, was that she's like, well, it's in like a neighborhood type of thing. And I'm like, I don't know if I've seen something like that since I was like back in the Midwest. That it's fairly common. They have these, you know, villages, what have you, and you've got certain restaurants, you know, what have you. And I was like, okay, well, that sounds, I'm like, I wonder about parking though. She's like, they have a parking lot. I'm like, okay, let's go. Let's go to the place, because, like, that is one of the things that I am a huge stickler about, is, like, I'm not parking on a street. I know how to do the whole, like, you know, what do they call that, where you got to back up into the space, you know.
Parallel parking.
Yeah, parallel parking. Like, I know how to do it, but I'm not looking for that time. I'm looking for the cakes and the desserts. I just want an easy parking job. That's it.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, and that, absolutely. I mean, that's got to be just absolutely gorgeous once summertime comes around. And I've seen a couple photos of when you guys first opened, even, and you've got the phone booth out there. You've got all the beautiful, the mural on the inside of your guys' space, just pastel gorgeous. Like, just so beautiful. Yeah, I mean, if you're big into Instagram, taking pictures of food, what have you, but just a nice looking space, yeah, you guys have it. It's gorgeous.
Thank you.
Yeah. And
very, pretty proud of how it all came together. So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And so going to the next one here, have you tried any newer flavors of cake or tried testing new flavors on desserts or cafe items that were a complete miss?
When we moved into the space, we made a lot of hires, and all the people that we hired are very talented in their field, so they brought in a lot of experience. And then Chanel really has been great. She really knows kind of what goes together well and has built out the menu. But we do, you know, when they have an idea, it's typically something that if it sounds good, it's probably going to be good. So it's worked out really well so far.
See, dadnabbit. See, I tried to did. We try to goat cheese, orange, citrus, something, and it's like, yeah, no. But no, I mean, it's like you were saying, if everybody is so skilled at what they do, I mean, that's like, yeah, how do you miss a target when you're good?
Yeah.
Right? Like, that's got to be difficult.
You feel very fortunate, that's for sure.
Yeah.
With the people we found.
So. Oh, yeah. And over the years, there's been quite a few things that have come up that are unexpected. I know, especially recently, like industry-wide, like COVID, and then Oregon-wise, you've got like the fires that have been happening, the ice storms that we had like last year. At any point, was there any like special moment that you remember, you know, whether it was with your team, with Chanel, or from a customer, or something that happened that you would want to share that was special?
I think the biggest thing is we put on hold this whole expansion thing. We were looking at doing this back in 2019 and trying to get our ducks in a row, and then everything happened, and you know, it just didn't pan out for a little while. But we feel really fortunate that the space that we wanted was still available after the fact, and we were able to put it together. And I think that's probably the biggest thing right now, is that we were able to expand shortly after, like, basically our whole industry shutting down. We really did realize that with the wedding industry and the event industry being hit so hard, that we needed to diversify and kind of have more options as far as what we were going to do as far as bringing an income into the business. And so this was quite honestly a bigger step than we were prepared to make, but it was something we had to do. It was either stand pat with what we were doing and kind of because last year was the hardest year we've ever had. Based on the COVID year was actually easy compared to last year, because we had all of our 2020 weddings all booked on top of our 2021 weddings, and we told all of our couples that had booked with us that, you know, we would allow them to change their date to any date they selected, whether it was available or not. We would make it work. And so we had upwards of 8, 9, 10 weddings a day over three-day weekends, you know, 25 weddings a weekend, where it's not even really feasible, but we made it happen. And with a lot of hard work from our staff that was in our smaller space. So, to be able to come over here and kind of expand on this end of things and increase our team, that's probably the biggest thing to us right now, is definitely the being able to get through it. So
totally.
I think that'd probably be the biggest thing for
me. That's the biggest one. Yeah. No, I don't blame you there. That you know, like you were saying, going over all the things that have happened, and sometimes it's like you were saying, you know, what is it? Technically with real estate, it's location, location, location. Sometimes with especially food industry stuff, the products you use, all that kind of stuff, it's timing, right? Like timing is a huge factor. And so kind of like what you were saying, going through that and then to come, you know, now 2022 and you guys have expanded your space. It had to have felt like you're putting on the captain's hat, you're grabbing the big wooden steering wheel of a ship, and it's just like, we're going into these waters. They don't look amazing, but we've got to conquer them. Like, we've got to do this. And
that's
not that
it's the best way to put it.
and it's not even because like it's rough waters and I don't want to go there. It's more of like those are rough waters and it's just we're ready to take this on. Right? Like that.
Yeah.
And then, you know, on the topic of things that are not dessert totally, right? When you're at home, and you can do you or you can do Chanel. I don't know who's the chef, you know, of chef de cuisine at your home. But what is a specialty that you make, or a cuisine, a dish, what have you, that you make just in your home kitchen? What's your favorite thing to make?
It's so funny. We're so habitual with what we eat. It's not even funny. It's a we keep it super simple. We do really long hours at our shop, so
right.
A lot of the times we'll get home and it'll be 8 or 9 o'clock at night, and then we're turning around coming back at 6 or 7 in the morning. So we keep it pretty light and simple. So when we cook at home, it's pretty much spaghetti or tacos, and that kind of covers it.
Totally. Yeah. No, I literally, my wife, she is a spaghetti with red sauce, like, just connoisseur. Like, I can make it 15 different ways as long as it's just boil the pasta, make the sauce in a saucepan. That's it.
Yep.
Like, don't care if there's meat in it. Yeah. Don't care if there's meat in it.
I gotta have meat. Chanel doesn't mind either way.
Yeah. But back to dessert. When making a wedding cake, does anyone have a particular ritual or anything that you do that wards off bad vibes, right? So what I think of is, like, I played baseball for years, right? And you get superstitious, right? Like, if you get good hits with a certain bat, you keep using that bat. And I'll be the first to admit, you can just answer yes or no. I don't want to ruin your process, okay?
No.
But I'm just saying, you guys have a ritual, something?
I don't think necessarily a ritual. I think the one thing that I wish wouldn't happen is when we're loading in a wedding cake and you have wedding guests that are standing there watching you and they say, "Don't drop it."
Like,
did you really have to say that?
Yeah.
Probably the biggest jinx. So.
You don't want to get jinxed on it.
I hope you have another one of those in the car in case you drop it. And they're saying that as you're carrying a 5-tier cake. It's like, it's not funny.
Yeah. This is actually a highly stressful moment. Thanks, guys.
Thanks.
Really glad. Yeah. Really glad. You guys want to help? You want to be part of this?
One shot.
Right. Exactly. Yeah. I was going to say, there is no hold on, let me hold this on my knee real quick. Like, there's no second chance at this. It's out.
You got to have a plan.
Yeah. When making wedding cakes, specialty cakes, or custom orders, has anyone just given you free rein on creativity?
We get that quite a bit, actually.
Really?
When there's people have very specific visions. Some people just want it to be, it's for so-and-so, and we want it to be super pretty. And we like gold, or gold and pink. And we'll kind of Chanel is very, very good at designing things. And she's kind of instilled that into our other cake decorators that are with us now. That's kind of a fun way to take orders. But I would say probably 80 to 85% of our stuff is very much, this is what I want. Or this is the vibe I'm going for. And so, but it is fun to have free reign for sure.
Totally. Is there any of those that you remember that was, like, awesome that you guys created? Like, was there a particular theme or, like, color scheme? Or is there one that you still want to create?
Well, we have a design in mind that we always wanted to be able to have fresh flowers to apply. We do that a lot for wedding cakes. We wanted to be able to do that here. We haven't been able to implement it quite yet, but we wanted to have it kind of be the luxe version where it has your metallics, and it has your floral, and it has some sort of stencil on the front of it. Just something that really makes it look really upscale. And those are the fun ones, I think, when people give us that freeway and we end up doing kind of what we envision offering.
Right.
But we just haven't been able to implement that into the website and that sort of thing yet. But we still do offer that. That'd probably be the ones we... A lot of our themed cakes, we don't specialize in heavy fondant stuff, so I'm usually the one who sources a lot of the decor that we incorporate into the design. So if you have like a certain special theme that you're going for, I'll try to find some decor items that go with it, and then they take those and they just kind of put together something really cool. So
All right. Well, that was the main questions. Going over Lux Sucre, but now we're moving on to the next segment here. And I know that you might feel like, man, I don't know if I'm ready for this, but this is rapid fire questions. And I'll admit, I don't have a time clock, nothing like that. But basically, try to answer off the top of your head, okay?
Okay.
And if you can't, you can say skip, but I will come back, okay?
Okay.
I will come back. All right, so these rapid-fire questions, these are specifically just Lux Sucre, questions here. Lux once did the desserts for the Instagram duo The Gaybeards. It was a Wes Anderson themed photo shoot for a particular publication. What is your favorite Wes Anderson movie?
Oh man, Chanel likes those more than I do. she enjoys those movies more. Skip.
All right. So the next one here, there was someone back in 2015 or 2016 that drove 5 hours to custom build a dessert counter for Lux Sucre. Who was this individual, and where is that dessert counter now?
That was my brother-in-law, and that dessert counter is actually in our old space with the new tenant over there. She's going to use it for her new business that they're opening down there.
Yeah, so it has moved to another well-deserving situation to be placed in. Yeah. All right. Well, that's good. So, Wes Anderson movie, me personally, looking over the catalog, I think that, Grand Budapest Hotel, I loved. But I can understand, Wes Anderson, he's eclectic, right? He's got that eclectic, vibe. Yeah. About Chanel now. On Instagram, Chanel has stated that baking wasn't her first passion, but always wanted to own her own business. What would have been that first business or her first passion?
Well, I think what she meant by that is she started in television down in California, right out of high school. She moved down to California and got into reality TV and TV production.
Yeah.
And she did love that, but it didn't end up being kind of the long-term future that she wanted. So,
right.
I think that this was probably her first passion
right.
past.
It just didn't present itself.
Yeah. Yeah. So that would have been her first thing was working in television. But as far as like meeting somebody like myself or having a family and that sort of thing, she didn't feel like would happen working in that industry because it was very fast paced and you were moving all over the place and that sort of thing. So
totally. And I can agree with that. Like I said, I got my journalism degree. And, I was going to be that war correspondent photographer, right? I was going to go out there, start shooting stuff, but not people, and just keep, doing what have you. And, yeah, I'm going through college. I'm doing everything that I usually do. And then I meet my wife, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not doing that. I'm going to stay with her. I like her a lot.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so, it's one of those things like I always enjoy trying to fit. And then even before photography, I wanted to teach in schools. I wanted to be like a high school teacher for computer hardware and web development. That's what I would have been a full on geek, Brandon. I would have been full geeking it, just sitting with a bunch of teenagers being like, no, Java is okay, but C++. I would have been hammering on that stuff. And so life has funny twists and turns. It happens that way. Also, Chanel stated that she's an adrenaline junkie and that she hasn't gone bungee jumping at that time. Is that still on the bucket list or has that been crossed off?
It has not been crossed off. It's still on the bucket list. She has skydived.
Right.
Which I think is insane. There's no bungee jumping yet. I think she would still do it, though, for sure.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. And then about yourself, Brandon. This is where, I'm not going to lie, it might get tough for you. Right. Who wins one-on-one, Dame Lillard or Brandon Roy?
One-on-one? That's
tough. One-on-one, yeah.
I think Dame is faster.
Quicker handles. Yeah.
Quicker handles, but then Roy is a little more herky-jerky, so I don't know.
Right.
That's a toss-up for me.
Yeah.
I'm going to go with Dame just because we did his birthday cake.
See? So. There you go. And then, then Nurkic or Bill Walton?
Oh, Bill Walton.
Bill Walton, yeah. He's kind of the guy, right? Like, you gotta, yeah.
Nurkic, in a few years, we'll see.
Yeah.
He's coming into his prime right now. So.
I like his vibe. I love Nurkic's vibe, man.
I hope they re-sign him.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And then I've got on here, you have built an MR2. Is there another car on your build list, or is it purchasing at this point? Is it just like, I've built the MR2, I'm good on that. I just want this one.
I kind of want another one of those.
Yeah? You want another one of those?
I really thought those were fun cars. They, that was, you know, in the early 20s, that was the pride and joy. But, you know, my head's so outside of that space now.
Right.
I think about it and I'm like, I don't even know what I would do with a car like that.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, think buying is probably more in the more in the cards at this point. Realm.
Yeah. and I mean, you've got the street cred already, right? So like if you find the MR2, you can, you know, whoever it is, you can be like, "Listen, young gun, I built one of these, all right? Like I know what I'm doing." And so yeah, so purchasing at this point. That's where we're going, man. And then last one on here, Patches was your hoppiest friend for 12 years, and I know you have cats, but if you were to get another bunny, what would you name them?
That's a tough one. Probably, it would depend on how they looked, but I maybe would do Patches 2.0.
Wow. Yeah.
Because it's been so long.
Be like Patches Ledoux, right?
Like, yes.
Yeah, there you go. See, if I can, I'm going to offer a suggestion on this one, because I've thought about this. I really have.
Okay.
I don't know about health codes, building codes, what have you, but I would try to make Lux Sucre's mascot a more formal bunny design. But like many great college mascots, I would have an actual bunny, right? Like in store.
Yeah.
And the name... Yeah, and the name would just be Lux Bunny, kind of like Bugs Bunny, right? But you just call
him, pretty smart.
Yeah, Lux Bunny, and then he can, you know, for the mascot at least, not the actual bunny, but the mascot at least, you could have like a napkin or a handkerchief, and on that it can say Sucre, and when people come up and interact with the mascot, if it's a bad interaction, they can throw sugar at the people and point at the handkerchief like Sucre, like sugar, you know, like you need to be sweeter, kinder to me. And then if it's a bad, if it's a good interaction, they can put on their best like goofy impression, right? Like underneath the mascot and say, "Well, I pronounce it sucker." And then you can hand out like suckers, like Lux Sucre branded lollipops or suckers. And that would be like the Lux Bunny. And I mean, I can't even imagine the marketing, the advertising around Easter time. I'm just saying, you can have it. Trademark.
I think we're going to have to partner on this one.
Right. Yeah. You can take it. Like I said, Lux Bunny. And I mean, really, I'm guessing Patches was, I mean, was it a black and white rabbit? Was it a black, white, and brown? Was it?
It was white and black.
White and black. Okay, was it lop-eared, or was it?
No,
just...
he was like a European short-haired. We had him for almost 15 years.
Whoa! 15 years, man. Oh man, yeah.
Yeah, he was pretty close to one of the longest, like recorded or something, according to that time when my brothers looked that up. It was pretty crazy. We had him all through our childhood, and
It's always fun having those kinds of animals while you're growing up. I was a typical kid. I had a cat and a dog, right? So I had my dog, English bulldog named Ozzy. And everybody thought at the time, this was like in the 2000s, so everybody thought that we named him after Ozzy Osbourne because that's what was on MTV. But we named after Ozzy Smith. Great shortstop of the St. Louis Cardinals. Like, we were like, you know, it's just Ozzy. Like, that's who it is. But,
it's a good name.
It is. Yeah. I mean, we could say Oz. We called him Fozzie Bear because he was brindle. He was brown, black, and had, like, white on his chest. So we called him Fozzie Bear. So if you're a huge Muppet fan, you got to like that. But no, Brandon, I appreciate you coming on here. Lux Sucre, love it. Me and my wife, anytime we are headed up in that area, it's like we gotta stop by Lux Sucre. We've gotta get some items and bring them back. We've gotta, you know, everything. And I mean, literally, it's gone into like the planning of where we might be in the future. Like, we're gonna have kids. We gotta be near, like, close to Wilsonville, so that way we can have like every birthday we get these cakes. Like, it's amazing. And then, like you were saying, the bread program, everything else going into it, it's just wonderful. That's all I have to say.
Thank you.
It's wonderful. And so I appreciate you coming on here. Is there anything you want to leave the guests with, whether it's what's coming up new and awesome or whatever?
I think just definitely follow us on Instagram. We keep everybody pretty up to date on things that are going on there. Facebook, we do a lot of postings on there. But it's kind of fun to check out our stories because we do always post our weddings on the weekends. And you can kind of see those displays. So. Yeah, that's probably the best way to keep in touch with us and see what's going on, other than just coming in and seeing what we're all about.
Totally. And definitely checking out the stories. You can see the cafe menus as well as many of the other, like, just specialty things in the dessert case coming up. It is great. You can see all the new promotions. I check out the stories anytime that I can. Just because it's like, if there's something special on there, we're going for it.
Awesome.
But I appreciate it, Brandon. And that is the Willamette Valley Spotlight, Lux Sucre. We'll see everybody next time.
This episode of Culinary Convo was written, produced, edited, and created by yours truly, Devin Ream, and is a part of Mouthful Productions. Please check us out on Twitter, Instagram, Facebook, at Culinary Convo, and our website, culinaryconvo.com, for recipes, episodes, resources, and send an email to culinaryconvopod@gmail.com with your fan suggestions or recipe submissions. You can also support the podcast by going to anchor.fm/culinaryconvo1/support so we can purchase cooking or audio equipment to help create a better podcast, or by using the funds to help further the exploration of Culinary Convo by ordering subscription boxes, food kits, or ordering food products to review. So shout out to our first supporter, Convonaut Dylan. Thank you. I also want to give audio credit to Soundtrap for our intro, transitions, and outro music. Thank you.